Check, we're good.
I'll just use this mic. This one's not going to work today. So good to see each of you here this morning. Appreciate you being here. It's always a pleasure to be able to come together to study the Word of God. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in the 28th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, Matthew 28. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest, encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true, and yet at the same time, I have a responsibility to preach the truth of God. If you find I've stated something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll bring it to my attention, I'll make the proper correction. If you think I stated something in a way unbecoming of a child of God, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your faith in Christ, you can be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. I would like for just a moment of your time to try to put a picture in your mind. And I'd like to get a picture in your mind of the day that Jesus died upon Calvary's cross. And can you imagine, as the day is beginning to fade, Jesus had already died upon the cross. The Roman soldiers had come to break the legs of the individuals that were on the cross. But when they came to Jesus, they witnessed he'd already died. So they bring down the body. You remember that Joseph of Arimathea had asked permission of Pilate to take the body of Jesus and to bury him. And Pilate had granted permission, so we see Joseph with a few disciples taking the body down off the cross of Calvary. They take down the tattered body of Jesus. And some stayed, I'm sure, to make sure that the body was not cast into the garbage heap or the common burial ground to the outcast and unclean. Then you remember in your Bible that the people of that day took the body down. And as I tried in my mind to get a picture of what the body of Jesus looked like after they had beaten and mistreated him. But when they took that body down, they tried to prepare it as best they could before the sunset of the Sabbath. At 6 p.m., they could no longer be working or doing anything. They had to be practicing the Sabbath. So here they are, the best they could. They're trying to prepare the body. They're trying to preserve the body. And you remember that they had to have that body down and in the tomb before 6 p.m. Then we see where they hurry home for the Sabbath day. Then upon the first day of the week, early in the morning, as the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter says, they come to the tomb to embalm and preserve the body. But they had noticed the earthquake. Notice in your Bible, in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, in verse 2, there was a great earthquake. And the stone had been rolled away. And notice, they had looked at the tomb and they had feared that someone had stolen the body. But in your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, it's here that an angel from heaven spoke to these women. And what I'd like to do for a few moments of our time is look at the gospel of an angel. The word gospel means good news. And if ever there was good news given, this angel gives it in the book of Matthew and the 28th chapter. The first thing I want us to notice is in verse 5 that the angel gives a word of encouragement. Notice that this angel in verse 5 says to the women, "Do not fear, or do not be afraid. Then he gives them several reasons why they should not fear or why they should not be afraid. First, he says to them, because you seek Jesus. I want you to understand these individuals had come to prepare the body because they had loved Jesus. And they were not intent on seeing an angel that day. They had come to see the Lord. They had come to prepare the body. And I thought it interesting in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter that those who kept the body, those guards in verse 4, the keepers of the tomb, when they saw the angel, notice that the Bible said out of fear, they became like dead men. They became a stone. They shook out of fear and then they stood still. And notice they couldn't talk, they couldn't even say anything at that moment because their fear was so great. But those who were intent on seeking Jesus were not satisfied in finding an angel. Notice the great difference between the keepers of the grave and the seekers of Christ. The seekers of Christ did not find gratification in seeing an angel. They had come for Jesus. And notice this angel spoke to them and said, "Fear not." While those other guards had stood with great fear and trembling, the woman was able to continue to communicate with that angel. But notice a second reason he tells them not to fear. He said, "You seek Jesus who was crucified." Now note the angel goes on to say Jesus was dead. He was crucified. And notice it was only to his seekers did he first appear. Without the crucified Jesus, there would have been no risen Christ. And so the angel says, yes, he was crucified. Yes, he was killed upon the Christ, on the cross. Yes, you're at the right tomb, but he's not here. And notice the words that he says. He is risen. In your Bible in verse 7, he says, "Now go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead." I want you to think about my friend. In verse 6, she says he's risen. In verse 7, he says he's risen. That was the best news they could have heard. That this Jesus who died upon the cross is not still in the tomb, but that he has been raised. He's not here. If you take your Bible in the book of John in the 20th chapter, you'll remember that when Mary had come to the tomb in verse 15, Mary said, "If you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will carry him hence." But you remember, my friend, what the angel had said in Luke 24 and verse 5. The angel asked a question. And the question the angel asked is, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" He is not here. He is risen. And you know what I learned from that teaching? There are many who seek the right thing in the wrong place. Jesus was not in the grave. He had been raised by the power of God. He is risen. And there was Mary standing there weeping because she thinks they have taken away her Lord. No, my friend, God had raised him. And sometimes man fails to see the power of God in the resurrection of his Son. And open your eyes and hear the words of the angel, "He is risen." But then notice a third thing. Notice that the angel, after he made that startling announcement, he makes a tender invitation and is an extended to the people of that day. In verse 6, notice the angel says he's Lord of all, and he says, "Come see the place where the Lord lay. Come in. Look at the tomb. Come and examine it." Have you noticed that truth has nothing to hide? And there is a great invitation. Come see Jesus. When I look at the life of Jesus, I see some great things. First, I see his great humility. There he was in the bosom of the Father in eternity, and yet he laid aside and came to this earth, and he put upon the robes of flesh, and now he's laid in a borrowed grave. The Son of God buried in a borrowed tomb. And I think of the humility to lay aside all the blessings and glory he had to come to this earth and live as a man. And though he was God, he put on flesh. And to think about what he was willing to do in great humility to save man. And then I think about his great life that was spotless from sin, holy and harmless and undefiled, no sin in him. And yet the iniquity of all was laid upon him. And then I think about his great suffering. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Lamentations and the first chapter. And when you come to the Old Testament, to the book of Lamentations in the first chapter, you remember in verse 12, Jeremiah writing, said, "Is it nothing to you all who pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought upon me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger." Now, Jeremiah writes that question, but I want to raise it in the face of Christ. Have you seen any greater suffering and sorrow than what Jesus did upon the cross? Is there ever been anyone who suffered more than what Jesus did when he was dying for the sins of man? Open your Bible to Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53, the prophet of God said in verse 3, that he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. So I see his great humility. I see his great life. I see his great suffering. But I'll tell you what else I see. Just as that angel invited them to investigate Jesus, I investigate and I see his mighty power. I see that he is risen, that he is raised from the dead. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 10th chapter, notice what Jesus said in verse 18. In verse 18, Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Have you ever thought of the power of Jesus? You know, no one can kill God. He voluntarily laid down his life. The only reason he died upon the cross is he yielded his spirit back to the Father. And I want us to understand Jesus willfully laid it down. He did so on a voluntary basis. But I'll tell you what else. I see his great and glorious victory. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly to the Hebrew letter and the second chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the second chapter in verse 14, notice that the Hebrew writer said, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." He's victorious over death. He's victorious over the devil. He's victorious over all things. In 1 Corinthians 15, you remember at the beginning about verse 20, it talked about he's the firstborn of dead. He's been raised. And because he's been raised, we too can be raised. In laying aside his grave clothes, he laid aside all that belonged to sin, death, and the grave. And he rose a glorious Savior. But I want to tell you something else. Back in your Bible, in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, look in verse 7. And look at a plain commission he gives. Not only did he talk to the people of that day and give a word of encouragement, and not only did he give a startling announcement, and not only did he give a tender invitation, but he gave a plain commission. In verse 7, he says, "Go quickly." After inviting them in verse 6 to come and investigate the tomb and say, "Notice the tomb is empty. Jesus is raised. He's not here. This is where he was, but by the power of God, he has been raised." Notice in verse 7, after saying, "Come," he says, "Go." It wasn't enough to investigate for themselves. He said, "Now that you've seen the evidence, he's not here. You go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Go tell. Go quickly." I think it's interesting. This angel from heaven did not preach any other gospel than that preached by the apostles soon after. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Galatian letter and the first chapter. And remember, Paul warned about that. In Galatians chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed." But what he preached was that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. That, my friend, is the essence of the gospel. That by the power of God, Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins, but he didn't stay in the tomb. God raised him. I want to take that. I want to ask you four questions in the lesson's yours. The first question I want to ask you is, whom do you seek? A lot of people might have been satisfied with seeing an angel, but notice they weren't satisfied in seeing an angel. People get caught up in angels today. I see a lot of people and they almost seem to have the idea of worshiping an angel. But if you take your Bible in Hebrews chapter 1, notice that's not what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 13, the Hebrew writer says, "But to which of the angels has God ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation?" I'll tell you, my friend, Christ is over angels. An angel never died for you. No angel ever went to the cross for you. Only Christ can redeem you. I think if we're not careful, we can become superstitious over angels and miss the Christ. And I want us to understand Christ is over the angels. And we need to be seeking Christ. We need to put our faith in a risen Savior. And that's the second question. Do you believe He is risen? Do you believe that by the power of God the tomb was empty? Because you can't come to faith in Christ unless you believe He overcame death. I believe that the Son of God died upon the cross, but I'll tell you even more than that, I believe He was raised by the power of God. That tomb is empty. But the third question I want us to think about, do you see where He was laid? Do you see what He's done? Do you see that He loved you? And since He was willing to die for you, and since He was buried in the tomb, and since He was raised, we can be too. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter. And in the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome in verse 3, notice what he says. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Have you ever thought that in the grave of baptism, you're raised a new person? You're not going to live the way you used to live. After you've become a Christian, you've changed. You know what the problem with a lot of people is? We want to go back to the old man. No, we're to walk a new life. We're to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We've been united together in this likeness of His death. Certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Notice verse 6. "Knowing our old man was crucified." I can't go back and live a life of sin contrary to God's will. I've been crucified to that life. I've been raised to walk a new life, dedicated to God. In Ephesians 2:6, he says that we've been raised together with Him. We sit with Him in heavenly places. We are a new creature, a new creation. And now we see where He laid and we see that He died for our sins. And because of that, we have this newness of life when we are immersed into it. But I want to tell you something else. Do you see the need to go quickly and tell them? Back in your Bible in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, look at what's said in verse 9. In verse 8, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." I love that in verse 8 and 9. They went out quickly. They went exactly like the angel said. And notice when they went with an attitude of great joy and fear, and they ran. They had good news. You ever heard someone or seen someone run with good news? Isn't it a beautiful thing to see somebody running when they have some good news to tell? And yet here in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, they went out quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to take the news He's risen. That's the message we take today. That's the gospel of Christ. The good news. I'll tell you something, my friend. If I ever get in my heart, like I should, the fact that Jesus overcame the grave, And that one day I too will be raised up, as John 5 says, and I'll be judged. I'll tell you what that'll do. That will motivate me to want to tell others. And it will motivate me to live for Him. It will motivate me to love the truth. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, do you recognize that you can have your sins blotted out? Just as Jesus died and was raised, you can die to the old life, be raised up to walk in newness of life, and live a dedicated life, following His example, walking in His pattern, being His child. We beg you, come.